The evidence that God has a real plan for you is all in the fact that you can feel His presence right now. Now, I'm just going to tell you something. If you can feel His presence, God's good. It seems like nobody will shut up about the fact that God's good today. Matter of fact, this is going to catch on because we're never going to shut up about how God is good. Amen. He came to bring life, not death. Amen. He came to judge death so that you and I, by His grace and mercy, could live. You're His treasure. And He's interested in you more than you can imagine. God wants you to hang out with Him today. He wants to take you somewhere you've never been in a spiritual sense and show you what you've never seen. And so right now, every one of us are at a certain level of faith. And wherever your level of faith is, He meets us there. And so I would encourage you that as you grow in your faith, never look down on the person that's growing in their faith. Always be there to be an example, an encouragement, a tool in God's hand to help them up to the next level, to serve with them as they become who God designed them to be. You see, in this new series, God's interested in building you up, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. And He has to, He's chosen by way of us addressing some things that attack our faith. Do you know what attacks my faith? The lies I believe. But the lies I believe, I don't think they're lies. They look right. Matter of fact, I will fight for those lies sometimes. Has anybody ever done that before? Well, Pastor, you're using the term lies, and that don't sit well with me, and I don't believe any lies. Really? You believe one now for sure. If you don't believe it, you believe lies. We shall know the truth, and the truth shall... He's making us, right? And He's not going to quit. He's after us. He's so good, He won't stop. You see, He's got 12 boys that He handpicked. And they're in a boat with Him going across a sea because He's on mission, because he knows how to love the one. And He is so in tune with everybody on this earth. He's everywhere at the same time. And He can show His love in a way that blows everybody's mind at the same time. In everybody's life that's willing to let Him come and meet with them. And so He's on a boat because He could have just translated over to the other side and met with the one man. But He's making some men. Oh, hallelujah. And on His way across the sea, matter of fact, I like this point. He says, let's cross to the other side. He's not the one that chose the boat. His boys chose the boat. You know, had they had enough faith at that point, they said, Lord, let's just be translated to the other side. Okay, you don't have to go through this test. You're already ready for the next level. You're ready to face something else. But they chose the boat, and He chose the instrument by which they chose. Because they're smart, right? They know exactly how we're going to cross. Anybody know how you're going to get through your storm? And God will work with the methods that we give Him in our day-to-day life. He will work with it because He has a plan to move you from one glory to the next as by the Spirit of the Lord. Correct? And so they're in the boat. Amen. And the Lord's already said we're crossing the other side. That was good enough, right? Isn't that good enough? Everybody says, if the Lord tells you you're going to be okay, is that good enough? But all of a sudden, you're going through something that says you're not okay. And in that moment of time, all of a sudden, the storm and the wind's voice had more influence than the master's voice. And Jesus and the storm that's going on, they have nothing in common. Matter of fact, the storm is trying to, you know, confuse and bring chaos, and Jesus is over here sleeping. Now, what does being asleep in a boat that's full of water and a storm have in common? Nothing. But they believe the storm is going to take them out. Jesus don't have any faith in that lie whatsoever. But see, they're smart. They know we're about to perish, and you don't care, Lord. Has anybody ever been there? Is our world there? Is the Christian community being challenged right now? And the Lord looks at them. After he comes the storm, and they're just like, they'll go, my God, what manner of man is this? And he asks them the question, where is your faith? God is so good that when he speaks to you, he will do exactly what he said. He cannot lie. Now, the test is all the lies that I believe that I'm carrying with me as I hang out with the Lord have got to be put to the test. I have to face the teeth of every lie in my life. And you know, Jesus is okay with that because he believes in me and he believes in you. And he wants us to get through it so that to the other side of the where we, his mission is to love on somebody. Come on. God's putting people in your path and the enemy is jumping in that path and trying to stop you from loving on them. God has everyone in this building on mission with people, but it's the lies that we believe. It's the mindsets that we hold. It's the ideas that we muse over in our thinking. As a man or woman thinks, so are they. That hinders us from loving that person in our path. And the Lord wants to help us get through that. And today we're starting a series called The New Life. And the subtitle of it is Good News for Me, Good News for You. There ain't no bad news coming out of heaven. And heaven showed up 2,000 years ago in bodily form and manifested. Jesus said, I come in the volume of the book. The scriptures are they which testify of me. Go search out heaven. If it don't testify of him, you didn't get it. We're baptized into Christ. If any man or woman be in Christ, they are a... Anybody get it? That's pretty good news. So, if there's some stupid going on in my life and some stuff that I really don't care about right now, anybody ever been lived in life where you felt like things were unfair and you've been treated wrong and woe is me? And so, you're singing the song, doom, despair, agony, and defeat. Anybody hear the melody now? And that's not coming from a good God that's in love with us. He's allowing us to face the lie so that we can develop into Christ, who he designed us to be. If the world that you live in, the world God placed you in, is not getting him, he's waiting on you to let him be Lord in your life so they can get Christ. But the truth is something that you get to know intimately. Amen? So, were the disciples ready to talk about the goodness of God while they were in the storm? I'm telling you, when they go through that storm, right now ain't time to talk about God. Right now I need to protect me. Right now I'm about to die and I need to take care of me. Has anybody ever been there before? Let me encourage y'all. God's going to get you to a place in him where you trust him on the level that every time you're facing the teeth of something that appears to be doom, despair, agony, defeat, something that's about to hurt you, that you will press through it because you know who you are. you're one that stewards the good news of Jesus Christ. And Jesus was letting them know when he said, where is your faith? He was letting them know you had what it took to talk to the storm and it come. You had what it took, the authority and power over the wind too. But no, you wanted me to do it, so I'm going to do it. So we got to go to the next school lesson. We got to go to the next challenge, the next lie that you believe, and face the teeth of it, because you're going to know the truth, and the truth is going to make you free. Is this okay? And so everybody in this room, we're in a nation that's pretty intelligent. Well, based on our idea of ourselves. Because we go to college and we have degrees and, amen, we're good at what we do and we're a leading nation in our world when it comes to several aspects. And if you're not careful, we have a certain pride about us. If we're not careful, we think we're smart. And I'm not saying that to be facetious or redundant. I'm saying that because the things that we hold in our mind become opposition to the purpose and mission of God. And remember, amen, our mission here on this earth is all about God and others, all about God and others, all about God and others. And when I'm going through something and all of a sudden it becomes about me and I got to take care of me, that's a signal that you're facing a lie. Is this okay? Now, I know what I just said is going to be challenged. I know it's going to be put to the test. I know I'm probably going to get emails and texts and because there's a Christian world out there that don't believe what I just said across the board. When you and I get so focused on protecting this person, you have to turn from the cross to do that. You only have time enough. This is the day of the Lord. He's given us an opportunity. Life is but a vapor. It appears for a moment and it vanishes away. We have just enough time to protect the cross. We have just enough time to convey the good news of what he did on our behalf. And I'm just going to have to go with it right now because, man, the Spirit of God is saying, leave the notes alone. And they're crossing through a lie to address a lie in someone that God's in love with. And when they get across, amen, to the other side. And I'm going to tell you something. It's God's will. It's in your book called the Bible. That God's plan is for you to hang out with him. If you hang out with him, his mission for you is light and easy. But the purpose of God, Paul makes it clear, is that he builds you up. Spirit, soul, and body. By way of the Spirit. The Spirit of God was given to you so that your spirit man could come alive. And the moment your spirit man comes alive, now your emotional health, because I'm going to tell you something, your spiritual, emotional, and physical makeup is important to God and it should be to you. Is this okay? So if indeed I'm going to join with God on the fact that my spiritual, emotional, and physical makeup is important, then I want to start this race right. It's not to the swift, it's not to the strong, but it's to the ones that endure. What are we enduring? Every lie that the enemy's ever caused us to believe. Any thought, any idea that exalts itself above God, God's given you and I the opportunity to join with him, to hang out with him, and bring every thought down to the obedience of Christ. You hang out with Jesus, and you pay attention to what he's saying. He or she that hath an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. If there's one thing that I have found out among the Christian world, is that's the big problem. Very few people are acknowledging the voice of God. And Jesus rehearsed it over and over and over again. If you have an ear to hear what my spirit's saying, then you're going to make it. That's how you start this thing. Amen? So every thought, every lie that's exalted itself above God, and it makes us look smart, it makes us look important if we hold these ideas. The Lord wants you to bring them down to the obedience of what the Spirit is saying to you. And you take vengeance on your disobedience when your amen is fulfilled. Yeah, Lord, I don't understand what you're telling me. It don't add up, and I'm ready to argue about it. I'll even fuss over it. And he's so merciful. He'll let us fuss and get heartburn and argue and try to plant our feet on it. And he'll wait until we get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And we wear out. But he didn't wear us out. Personal arrogance and pride wore me out until I was willing to say, okay, Lord, I don't have to understand why you said what you said and why you said it. I'm going to go with it. That thing is brought down when my obedience is fulfilled. It's so interesting that God's not making anybody obey him. He hadn't made one soul ever in this earth obey him. He's not that kind of father. He's good. Personally, I'm okay if he would make me do a few things. I would rather be in the hands of a merciful God than in the hands of a lying spirit. So I'm telling Lord, if you ever want to make me do something, go right ahead. I vote that you make me do it. He's not going to do that. He's made sure that you and I choose every waking day to come join and hang out with him so that he can finish what he started in our lives. Does anybody agree with this? So he can't be bad. He can't do nothing evil. He can only do good. But you're in a spiritual battle, a spiritual war, and it's right here between the ears. Amen? And so Jesus is after a man on the other side of the sea. And Jesus goes through a storm, the sole purpose of training some followers on how to get through the storm. And when he arrives to the other side of the sea, there's this man in the distance in a graveyard. And Jesus, as he's getting out of the boat, says to the spirits that torment that man to come out. The man can't even hear what Jesus is saying, but the spirits that torment him knew exactly what he was saying. And because those spirits heard Jesus, the man didn't hear him. He's under the control of these spirits. This man is going through something in his life, and he needs a miracle. And only Jesus can give him the miracle. Oh, by the way, I'm looking at some Jesuses here. You've been buried with him in baptism. You took his name. He calls you by his name. He calls you. But you don't understand. My name is John, Dick, Sally, Sue. No. Jesus calls you by his name. And he wants you to take up the role that he left for you to do when he left 2,000 years ago in the clouds. He come back in spirit at Pentecost and began to fill everyone that would agree with who they are. And he started changing back, amen, this earth into his plan by way of those that decided to let him take up lordship in his house, the temple, the body. Come on now. And so this man is tormented. And Jesus speaks to those spirits and they come running. Well, the body and the man had to come too because he's under their power. And the man comes with those spirits and kneels before Jesus. And out of that man, those spirits speak, what do we have to do with you? Have you come to torment us before our time? Because the scripture says when they got there, Jesus had already spoken it while there was a ways off. Did you know how much influence you got? We're not here to be spooked by anything. The enemy's lied to everybody in the earth. Every one of us has been impacted by his lies. And you, if you and I will decide to hang out with Jesus and get intimate with him, intimate means know the truth. Know means intimate. Go check it out. When you get intimate with the truth, the seed of God's word gets into his womb here. Come on. When you get intimate with him, you know the truth, you can't help but bring hope and joy and peace wherever you go. And any life that's being beat up, they're going to want to be hanging out with Jesus because you carry the dynamic of Jesus in your life. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And the kingdom is within you. If it's not working in you, what are we going to do about it? Ladies and gentlemen, too many people right now, because COVID-19 and Jesus have nothing in common. Too many people are putting a lot of significance on COVID-19 and little significance on Jesus. Christians are putting a lot of significance on COVID-19 and little significance on the one that bore the stripes. By his stripes ye were healed. Am I beating up on anybody? No. I'm letting you know the truth reigns. The lie is coming down. But it's not coming down because we're judging anybody because their faith is little. We're giving those that have little faith hope that they can move from that level of faith to another level of faith and experience God in a new way. You have what it takes to calm the storm. And right now, the mindsets and the ideas that people are holding about this virus is not good mindsets and ideas. Jesus would call it demonic. Jesus called it being demonized. That's what Jesus called it. But when you hang out with somebody and you know they've been with Jesus because they carry a dynamic of hope, a message of truth that's good news, you want to hang out there. Because our world is full of doom, despair, agony, and defeat. That economy is about to fall. Everybody's going to die. And everybody's freaking out. And that's not faith. It's real. It's a real storm. And I got brothers and sisters and people that I call friends that I've connected with that are wore out over the last 3 months. They're beat up. And they don't know what to do with it. And they're not sure what's going to happen next. But did you know that you can know today that God has you and everything's going to be all right? Oh, yeah, the boat's rocking and turning, and it looks like it's wanting to break apart, and it's full of water. But if you'll keep your eyes on the prize, if you look at him, he's asleep. He ain't bothered by it. He ain't moved by it. He's already spoken. We're going to the other side. That sounds like we're going to die. There's a miracle waiting. This man was imprisoned, he was isolated, he was incomplete. This man, the scripture says, had a city, he had a family. Oh yeah. And this man was tormented with many spirits. And I'm just telling you, without God, we're tormented, aren't we? Without God, You'll think thoughts and you'll cast down them. You'll try to be strong enough to win. But without God, we're no different than that demoniac. Did y'all know the scripture don't even give the man a name? And I have to say to you, Probably because we all need to put our name in that slot. Pastor, why do you have to go there? Because I can tell you, after 57 years, and I served in the kingdom of God, Christianity, as a spiritual leader, I can tell you I have had lies in my life that caused me to a lot of embarrassment, a lot of shame, a lot of frustration. And when I go back and rehearse it, man, there was more spirits there than I thought. And I was going to church. I was experiencing the presence of God. God was working and doing good things through me. But the more I rehearse it, the more I now know that God is good. And I caused that woman some challenges because I believe, I thought they were from heaven. Bless God, I know what God said. I could quote the Bible, but I wasn't quoting what His Spirit was saying. My children, Devin, Dathan, Dion, they had to put up with some things that I thought was absolutely correct and right, and it took God to deliver me from those ideas. This man has been separated from his family and from his city. They cast him out of the city, and he became their entertainment. He was isolated, and at night he would howl because of the regret, the pain, the offense, the loneliness. Ah, hell, I remember that sciatic nerve. I feel like, based on what the lady said, it's worse than having a baby. I couldn't get no relief. And the Lord wasn't being bad. And the Lord let me know, son, I didn't do that to you. You did that to yourself. What you going to do about it, Lord? Okay, I'm glad you asked. We'll get through this. We're going to go to the other side. I thank the Lord I can walk around and jump down here. Oh, it's awesome. God is good. But there was a moment there I felt isolated. I felt imprisoned. Hey, man, I was in pain. I can give a little bit of what this guy's going through. I wasn't cast from my family. I wasn't cast out of town. Feel like it's entertaining the enemy for sure. But ladies and gentlemen, he was imprisoned. They came and they would shackle him. And he would break the shackles and give them a show. They would bring bigger shackles and shackle him. He'd break those shackles. I'm talking to somebody right now because the temptation to think that we can do this within our own power, the enemy's okay with that. Ah. Well, maybe you beat the habit of something. You broke the shackle. Let me encourage you right now. The Lord don't want you depending on you. You need Him to be the one to break the shackles. Because there's a bigger shackle coming if Jesus ain't Lord in your life. And so for every shackle that he broke, and he entertained the people that cast him out of the city, and he wept over the fact that he was isolated, he didn't have his family, and his memories tormented him, Jesus came, amen, and spoke to the demons that tormented him and said, come out. The interesting thing about it, when the city heard, you know how they heard? I believe it was my daddy-in-law that said it. That was the first time devil ham was invented. The Spirit says, can we go into the pigs? And the pigs run because they didn't want the devil in them neither. And they ran off a cliff into the sea and died. City heard of that. When they come, they're thinking they're going to see the man that they remember, but they don't. They see him sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. I just wonder if the world needs to see us at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in our right mind. Would that impact the world? It impacted them. Scripture says, and they were afraid. Because they didn't know anything about Jesus. They don't know anything about the kingdom of God because the region that Jesus had crossed the sea to was a Gentile region. And he comes from one man. I love the way Jesus does stuff. He lets us know. If I can just get someone to believe, all I need is one. And that man says to Jesus, I want to go with you. He says, no, I want you to hang out here. I want you to go back to your town and nine more of them. There's 10 cities there. I want you to go back and I want you to tell them all that I've done for you, the good things I've done for you. That was the commission he gave him. You just go tell everybody how good I am. This guy certainly didn't know what was going to happen. He had no clue that, okay, I'm going to go tell him how good I am. You've been to me, Lord. He couldn't have had any clue how it was going to impact him because he's not looking through their lens. He's looking through a different lens. And I'm talking to somebody. You're thinking that what God has done for you is not that significant. And God is placing people in your path. If you will spend your time talking about how good God is, what it will do to the people he puts in your path. When Jesus comes back to that region, multitudes were waiting on him, ready to receive him. You see, when this guy got set free and he was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, Jesus had renewed because he was willing to hang out with Jesus. Y'all gotta please catch this. He's hanging out with Jesus and he gets renewed access to peace and joy and identity. What he lacked, he now has access to. And some of us are trying to figure out how to get some peace in our home, how to get some joy again, how to work through this stuff going on in our world so we can at least rest at night and, amen, have a little dignity about how we think about tomorrow. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But this man that we can all put our name in the slot, it's just like every one of us. When you hang out with Jesus, you get renewed access. Amen. To speak to the storm, to speak to the sickness, renewed access to host God's presence. Amen. And demonstrate the peace and joy of God. But not only did he get renewed access, he got renewed freedom. Freedom. Anybody need to be free? Did you know that there's people that God has put in my life that when I hang out with them, I get more freedom? Yeah. There's certain people that when I'm with them, breath comes in my life. Hope oozes into me. Oh, I grow. I get confirmation. I get validation. You see, at New Life Fellowship, it's our purpose here for everybody to receive the promise. And that promise is spirit baptism. He starts with your spirit man. Come on. Good news for me, good news for you. But not only does he start with our spirit man, and gives us the promise of empowerment and identity, we experience freedom. But that freedom is directly tied to who is mentoring in our life, who is connected to us. Who are we connected? What part of the body, as a member of the body, am I fitly joined in? Because the moment I'm joined in at that place in the body, I have freedom. Oh. I'm a member of this body. This body going somewhere. It's empowered by the Spirit of God to do what? To change the world. How do we change the world? We carry the good news. And I'm closing with this last point that he was given. He was given a renewed purpose. Jesus tells him. He says to him, he said, son, I need you to hang out here because I want you to go proclaim to these 10 cities how good I've been to you. Now, the enemy's shaking in his pointy toe boots right now because most of the people in this room are going to believe it today. And you're going to realize that Jesus ain't put no heavy burden on you. The burden he's given us is light and easy. Every time I begin to tell people how good God's been, something follows it. An unction. Woo! The gifts of the Spirit start stirring. A word of knowledge. A word of wisdom shows up. Next thing you know, I know something I can't explain, but I say it. And their mindsets that they're holding, they're going like, man, I never heard that before. That sounds right. And all of a sudden, they change something about their thinking. Did you know what just happened the moment they changed something about their thinking? A demon left. Y'all getting this? All of a sudden, they're hanging out with someone that's talking about the goodness of God. And because you're proclaiming how good God is, God shows up and says, I can work with that. You carry the good news, I can work with that. You keep talking the good news, I'm going to work through that. And every demon that's tormenting is leaving. Don't get off on gossip. Don't get off on who's right and wrong with Jesus. You're not here to debate God and the kingdom of God and the end of the world. That's not what we're about. That's not the good news of God. Hang out with Jesus. When you hang out with Jesus, he does something good in your life. Go tell them what God is doing that's good. And what's bad in their life has to flee. That's how simple it is, ladies and gentlemen. You want to see God manifest? Talk about how good he is. That region remembered, this guy used to entertain us. And we were wild because we thought, man, don't mess with him. You know, you could get around him, he'd let you chain him. But you knew not to mess with him. Can we chain you? Can you break this one? And so they were entertained by what they thought was supernatural. But all of a sudden, the same guy that they had been entertained with, that was separated from his family, cast out of his city, lived in a graveyard. Come on, this is helping somebody. I wonder how many people were in the ground at that grave that impacted the demons that had him in jail. He was hanging out at a graveyard of mindsets and ideas and lies of the past. And there is where he lived. God didn't call you to live in a graveyard. And he didn't call you to talk about, well, you know, I was born into this family and this is hereditary. That's a lie. Well, my daddy and my mama had this, and so I'm going to get that. No, you're going to have to face the teeth of that lie. It's a lie. It's a graveyard. And all it's going to give you is pain and regret. It's going to separate you from the goodness of God. But Jesus has come to your graveyard with good news. Come on, this is going to help somebody here. Did you know that the good news is the power of God unto salvation? Did y'all know that? Y'all want to win? Anybody need victory? In any area of you, it don't matter what it is. The good news is the power of God into salvation. And somebody said, oh, I need a second witness. I don't know about that. Well, John lets us know that by the blood of the Lamb, the goodness of God, and the word of your testimony, of how good you're going to be an overcomer. Somebody's trying. All of a sudden, I got to be a super Christian. No, you get to be who God designed you to be and let God be super through you. That's it. You ain't got to prove nothing to nobody. Just hang out with Jesus and tell everybody what happens as you hang out with him. Boy, I'm hanging out with Jesus. Boy, he's doing this and this and this. And the Lord said, I can work through that now. Deliver us from debate. Deliver us from every idea and thought that exalts its perfect above God. God, right now, right where we're sitting, we're asking you, right in the middle of a storm going on in our world, use us to keep our eyes on the prize, to get over there right next to you and just do what you're doing, Lord. Say what you're saying, to live out what you live out. And Lord, if you want me to speak to the storm, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to face the very teeth of the lie that's keeping me from believing that you're a good God. Thank you in advance for access, Lord, for freedom, for purpose. Thank you, Lord, for investing in us. Your kingdom will. We want the enemy to be our walking material moving forward. Every lie cast down to become what we tread on. In Jesus' name.